Welcome to this, the 13th station of the resurrection. Today we are at that passage where Jesus confronts Peter, asks him whether he loves him or not. My name is Martin Saunders, I'm the vicar of St. Philip of St. James Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people, and will have compassion on his suffering ones. Jesus said, "This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." As we start a prayer, God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a reading then from the Gospel according to John 21, 15-19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you are old, when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After Jesus said this to him, he said, "Follow me." Our reflection today comes in the form of words written by Ken Gardner in his commentary on John, and they are worthy of repeating. So here we have a passage of intricate pattern. There is a play on three words which are interwoven like the plait of three strands. The three words are love, sheep or lambs, and feed or tend. There is a problem because the conversation between Jesus and Peter would have been conducted in Aramaic, but is reported in this gospel in Greek. We cannot be sure that the nuances in the letter were present in the former. However, because those nuances are present in the Greek, we can assume that the writer intended his readers to notice and learn from them. So first, regarding love, there's two words in the original, agapeo and philio. The use of each is carefully placed, so it does not do justice to ignore the difference. Agapeo is the word that Jesus made his own. It refers to a love which is not drawn from the lover by some attribute in another, but depends upon the will and character of the lover. Thus, for example, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whereas philia refers to affection and deep friendship. So before we turn to the text, we should remember that Peter had denied that he knew Jesus three times. And so Jesus gives him three opportunities to declare his love for him. We've already commented on the fact that the denials took place by a charcoal fire, and the affirmation of love was in the same setting. It's after breakfast that Jesus takes Peter aside and walks him along the shore. The relationship between them has already been restored and would have been strengthened by the fellowship of the meal. So it is in that context that Jesus leads Peter back to his failure. It has to be faced, but within the security of the knowledge that he will not be rejected. Jesus begins by calling him Simon Bar-Jonah, son of John. That probably hurt Peter, takes him back to the person he was, and still is at heart. The enthusiastic but impulsive failure who puts too much trust in his own abilities. Jesus asks, "Do you love," that is agapeo, "me more than these?" These what? These the boats, the Sea of Galilee, the familiar countryside? Jesus may ask us the same question. Do we put career, home, country before him? Perhaps he's referring to the other disciples. That's Peter's friends. Does he love him more than he loves them? Almost certainly, however, Jesus has something else in mind. Does Peter love him more than the other disciples do? That would be an invidious question, but for the fact of Peter's claim back in Matthew 26. Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never will. I never will. No doubt, however, Matthew's account would be well known. Peter must have felt desperately ashamed to be reminded of his boast in this way. But it was essential that he be made to face himself if ever he were to become the rock. So in the light of this, Peter cannot bring himself to say that he loves Jesus utterly, although he knows that he has love that is genuine. And so he tones down his reply and says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love philia you." Again, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love agapeo me?" And gets the same response, "You know that I love philia you." The third time, it's as though Jesus turns the knife in the wound. He changes the wording to match Peter's and asks, "Simon, son of John, do you philia me? John actually records that this hurt Peter, and in his despair he cries out, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love philia you." There's another use of words here. The word "know" on this first occasion, eido, implies fullness of knowledge, whereas in the second occasion has ginosko, which often carries an implication of relationship. Peter is in effect saying, "Lord, you are omniscient, you know my heart, surely I can at least claim to have philia love." Now we turn to the other two words in the plats, sheep, lambs, and feed, tend. Again, some commentators would claim there's no significance in the interchange of words used. But again, we would ask why. Why make the change? Having accepted that there is some significance, however, the difficulty is to be sure what it is. First commission Jesus gives to Peter is to feed his lambs. Lambs are not necessarily young in years, but young in faith. New believers are avaricious for knowledge of their newfound faith. They might not always be discerning, but they are eager to learn. They must be fed the truth. As time goes by and they become members of the flock, that flock needs shepherding. In fact, it is the very word Jesus uses in the second command, poimeno. There can be a danger for those who have been believers for a long time that their understanding of God does not grow, and they rest in the simple faith of what they were taught by others when they first believed. But we need to discover for ourselves the fruits of an intimate and personal relationship with God. We who are believers need stronger meat to challenge us and to help us to continue to mature in the faith. Thus the third commission is, feed my sheep. If any believers are reluctant to recognize Peter's authority because of his three denials of the Lord, here's the proof that before his ascension, Jesus restored and recommissioned him. And so those were the words of Ken Gardner, vicar of St. Philip and St. James from 1970 to 1993. Let's take time to pray. Father, as we've heard those words from Ken, reflecting on Jesus, we ask ourselves similar questions. Do we love Jesus more than these things, these people around us? Would we do anything that Jesus asked us to do? We ask ourselves those questions about faith. Are we people who are still at that point at the beginning of being lambs, of being young in years, of needing to discover truth, biblical truth? Are we actually people who are quite mature in faith and yet still need to grow and discover for ourselves the fruits of a personal and living relationship with Jesus? What stronger meat are you accessing to challenge you and to help you to continue to mature in the faith? Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom as we read and think and pray and reflect on your word. Lord, we thank you for that example of restoration, even for those that have really been challenged and denied everything about faith. We thank you that there is nothing that can separate us from your love for us. And Lord, we pray for wisdom about how we might feed each other, help ourselves to feed, help others around us to feed and to grow and grow up in our understanding, in our maturity in you. So we praise you and we bless you, our risen Lord Jesus, King of glory. For even in the glorious victory of the resurrection, you understood the failure of Peter who denied you. As you restored him to relationship with you, remember all who feel downcast and worthless in this world's eyes and give them a sense of purpose and value. To you, Lord Jesus, loving us despite our denial, be honour and glory now and forever. Amen. So final acclamation. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Amen. Friends, don't forget that our next reading is available from Friday at 9 a.m, Friday the 15th of May. And also we have a talk of the week on our other phone number, 01634 540650. May you have a blessed and glorious day.